Verse number 15, I don't know who this is for today. I don't have a clue who this is for. It may be for one person. It may be for several people. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the army, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Look at verse number 18 and verse number 19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I... Oh, gosh, I can't even see. My eyes are so watery. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. I want you to go back here. You guys can be seated. Those of you who are standing, you can be seated. I want you to look at verses 18 and 19 again. All right, first off, let's back up to verse 15. Let's look and see who's addressing this. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One. He says, the Creator of Israel, your King. I've watched here over the last few years how you see so many things. Let me back up and say this. When I see things, whether it's a news report or whatever the case may be, when I see something on Facebook or whatever, and I read the comments, one of the things that it keeps coming back to, especially as it affects Christians, anytime you see somebody make a statement and they're glorifying God or they're telling people to pray, whatnot, people will come back and they'll fire against that and they'll say, well, where is your God in all this? You know, when we go through a storm, you know, as the body of Christ, when we go through a hardship, people will look at us and they'll say, well, where is your God in the middle of all this? You know, folks, I want to just establish this. Your God is right there in the middle. God is not completely ignorant to what you're going through. He's not completely, he's not mindless as to see where you're at. He doesn't look at you and say, well, you know, maybe if I would have just known. Maybe had I known that you were dealing with this, then I could have done something. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Now, verses 18 and 19, and I don't know who this is for today. It may be for me. He says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will make even a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. You know, I was telling Brother Joe here just a little bit ago. He was sitting on the other side, and I was talking to him, and I said, you know, in the flesh, when you see a sparse crowd like this, I said, in the flesh, it's discouraging sometimes. But I said, you know, it's what God's doing in the supernatural. It's what is happening in the spiritual that we need to be paying attention to. You know, I would rather come and preach to 25, 30 people that are faithful, that love God, than to have 25,000 and 24,000 of those have no care or concern about the things of God. And listen, I want to say this, reading those two verses, verses 18 and 19. Go back to verse 18, Georgia. Verse number 18. He says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. You know how many of us get caught in that prison? How many of us get trapped in that place where we sit back and we think about something that maybe happened yesterday, something that maybe happened a couple weeks ago, something that maybe happened several years ago? We get bound into that place. We get caught into that little bit of a prison. And God is telling us here, and you know, this is not something that we didn't know, church. He says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. You know what happens when you sit back and you think about yesterday? You can't operate today, and you have nothing to look forward to tomorrow. If you stay in yesterday, you will never operate today, and you'll never prosper in the future. You'll never go forward from that. You know, I've sat back several times over the course of our marriage, and I've sat back and I can't even tell you the nights that I've had where I just laid in bed and was crying to Crystal and saying, if I could have just done this differently, if I could have said this, if maybe something different would have happened. You know, this year has been a very crazy year for us. You know, we have, and I'm not trying to dig up or pick at a scab or anything. I'm just going to tell you the truth. We have lost a lot of people that we thought cared about us. We've lost several people, more than what you all even realize. And there's a situation that's going on right now where it appears as if a good friend of mine has turned against me, and I don't have a clue why. I have no idea why. I have given this individual several opportunities to come to me and say, and we've been one-on-one the last few days. And I've had opportunities for this person to come and say, okay, this is what's bothering me. And they're not saying anything. They're not telling me. And every time I think about it, I called this person this morning, and every time I think about it, you can feel that emotion rise up. And I told my mom this morning, I said, I cannot focus my attention on something that may or may not have happened. If I've offended somebody, I'll be the first one to stand up and say, I'm sorry. But if I don't know what's going on, I can't worry about whether or not that person got offended a week ago, whether that person got offended a year ago, whatever the case is. I have to worry about right now, and I have to worry about what's going on in the future. Folks, I'm telling you, we are not long for a phenomenal move of God in this place. Things are starting to happen. Those of you that were not here last Sunday night, you have no idea what you missed. You have no idea what you missed. And I was standing here today, it was just like God started putting things into my mind, just one thing after another of things that I see people deal with and things that I read about online that people are dealing with. And I go back to this, and he says, do not call to mind the former things, and do not ponder the things of the past. Yeah, every one of us in here has hurts. Every one of us has been let down. We've been brokenhearted before. You know, it seems like that one day the keys of the kingdom have landed right in our lap, and sometimes it feels like in 5 minutes everything that we felt that we thought we had been promised or whatever the case may be, everything that we thought was great is snatched away from us in a moment. And we look at those things, and we think it's the end of the world. We think there is no hope. We think that everything is just in the dark. We're never going to find our way out. You know, I read Scripture, Brother Stephen, it says, give thanks in all things. He says, count it all joy when you go through various trials, when you go through various tribulations and various temptations. Count it all joy. Because I have said this for the last 10 plus years. It may be storming in your life right now, but there has never been a storm that lasted forever. It might be the worst case scenario in your life right now. We may see things in the natural, and we see the worst of the worst of the worst. And we sit back and we think, where is food going to come from? Where are the bills going to get paid? Where is that coming from? Where is God in the middle of all this? Hang on. I can't tell you anything else but to hang on. It may be crap right now. Weeping endures for the night, but joy is guaranteed to come in the morning. We can't look at things. Folks, listen, this church and this ministry is at a point right now. We cannot continue to look at things in the natural. We can't sit back and look at what happened yesterday. Myself included, there are several of us sitting in this place right now that we have a hard time letting go of something that happened before. Let it go. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Let it go. Because the longer that you think about it, the longer that you ponder it, and the more you talk about it, the more of a cancer that thing becomes in your life. You cannot grow as long as that's in your life. You will never move forward as long as you hold on to that one thing. Let it go. Let it go. Every one of us in here knows what it's like to be let down. We know what it's like to be disappointed. Not one of us has ever went one day without crying because of sorrow. Every one of us has dealt with it. Now I want you to look at this. God just showed me something in this verse. Verse number 20. He says, the beast of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. Now I want you to back up and look at this. He says, the beasts of the field will glorify me. The jackals. And I don't know how ostriches fit into this. We went to that drive-through zoo in Tennessee last year, and when the ostriches come near to the car, we rolled the windows up. Those things are mean. But I looked at this, and as I was standing here and I read this verse, this, you know what God is telling us here? He says, not only will your enemies have to submit to me, but you jump over to Revelation, you know what he says? He says, your enemies have to submit to you as well. He says at the end of verse number 19, he says, I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, where the escape route is the least likely. God is going to make a way. Let me read something to you, and we'll get back to this in verse number 20. Let me read something to you real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. One of the probably top five most misquoted verses in all of Scripture, the Apostle Paul writes, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. You may feel completely boxed in. You know, some of you have heard me talk about this before. These three right here, heard me preach the message on Pac-Man one time. And what about Pac-Man? I've been playing that, the old Pac-Man, with my kids this week. And you look at this game, if you're familiar with the game Pac-Man, you look at this board, and it just seems like all of a sudden the walls close in around you, that the enemies that are chasing after you, it seems like right there you're done, all hope is lost, and then you look right there on the side, there's a way out. And I remember several years ago thinking about that, and I remember God saying to me, the Creator put it there by design. The Creator always makes a way of escape. He said, there's nothing that you're going to go through that is uncommon. What you're going through, somebody else either has went through, or they're going through right now, or they will go through in the future. He says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. He will not allow you to be tried. He will not allow you to suffer tribulation beyond what you are able, but with that will also provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. It might be the worst of the worst, but God says, as long as I'm on your side, you're going to get through it. You know, several of you were here a few Sunday nights ago, and I was telling the story about what God had shown me. I was praying, and God had taken me completely out of reality. And I saw the earth, and I watched as the earth was spinning on its axis. And next to the earth, now I couldn't tell you what the features looked like or anything like that, but I saw the face of God, I saw the picture of God, the long flowing hair, the eyes of fire. I can't tell you exactly what he looked like, but I was watching and I saw the face of God next to the planet. And you could hear people crying out. You could hear people saying, God, 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 God. You know, everybody, and it just seemed like that the world was in chaos and everybody was crying out to God. And God's attention was elsewhere. He was not looking at the planet. He was paying attention. He was looking off in the distance. And then all of a sudden, a new voice of people started speaking. A new group started crying out, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And at that minute, God's attention went from being unfocused to looking at the planet and seeing what was going on. If you are truly a child of God, don't think for one minute that God is not paying attention or that he is completely unaware of what you're going through. God knows your cries. Now, I want to get back to this for just a minute, and then we're going to just run with this today. In Isaiah 43, starting in verse number 20, he says, the beast of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. I started thinking about this, and he says here that the beast of the field will have to glorify him. The enemy will have to glorify God. You know, Scripture tells us that at the sound and at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I want you real quickly, jump over with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter number 3. He says, not only will the enemy have to glorify him, but I want you to see what God says, and I'm not necessarily talking about a person. If you've got a situation going on with a person right now, just hang back, because if you are truly a child of God and you are truly serving him and seeking him out, God will vindicate you. God will vindicate you. People may say what they want. You know, I remember reading a verse, and I remember they turned it into a song. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. All right, now I want you to look at something here. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse number 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and I have kept my word, and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Now look at verse number 9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet to know that I have loved you." He says, not only will my enemies have to bow down before me and glorify me, he says, but they're also going to have to bow down before you. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what hardships every one of us carried in here today. I don't know what your biggest concern is right now. I don't know what is tearing you apart on the inside right now, but I'm telling you that God says that he will cause your enemies to fall down at your feet. Again, don't think that there's just going to be this line of people come running and falling. That may happen. It may happen. But I believe that this is a spiritual context, that God will vindicate you. I want everybody to stand with me today. Howie, I want you to start playing. Beverly Patrick, I want you to come up here. It seems like every time you get one good report from the doctor, there's something else. Completely free of lupus, but now dealing with the cousin of lupus. You know what? We're going to just tear down that stronghold today. We're going to curse lupus's cousin today. And the rest of his family too. My God, my God, my God. Crystal, just start praying with her for a minute. I want y'all to stretch your hands this way. Kevin, I don't know what this pertains to. I mean, I know something that you guys are dealing with right now, but I don't know what this pertains to. But God has been impressing on me all day today to tell you that something better awaits. Something better awaits. Don't give up. Don't turn around and run the other way. God says something better awaits. Whew. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes focused on the prize. You and your bride. They walked in here today. I said, I knew I smelled newlyweds. God, I just want to thank you right now. Pastor Danetta, go over there with those two real quick. In the name of Jesus Christ. God, I watched these two make a public stand a few months ago. Lord, I was privileged enough and honored enough to see these two come together as husband and wife. I speak directly to the enemy himself right now. You have no authority in this marriage. You have no right to torment this couple. God, I want to stand on your word today that something better awaits, that they are to keep their eyes on the prize. God, as we read here, your word through the prophet Isaiah, forget about yesterday and do not ponder the things of the past. The past is the past. And God, I thank you that not only is the present bright, but their future is bright. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that as they go through early marital struggles, God, I thank you that they're growing closer together. And Lord, they don't have to look at the things in the natural, but God, they'll be able to see things begin to happen in the supernatural. And God, they'll just sit back and be able to look at each other and say, where did this come from? How was this possible? God, I thank you today that through you and with you, all things are possible. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Now, Lord, just as we have been doing over the last few weeks, I speak to this infirmity, an infirmity, as if you didn't already know, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Jamie Gizzy, and I am a servant and a child of the Most High God. And I'm speaking directly to you right now, under the authority and the power of the name that is above all names. And I tell you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you have to go, that you have to depart from this body, that you are not allowed to affect her anymore. You are not allowed to infect her anymore. You are not allowed to torture her anymore. You are not allowed to create questions to come into her mind. She serves the true living God. She serves the healer. And God, just as this bracelet says, by His wounds, by the wounds on Jesus Christ, we are healed. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that once and for all, my God, I just felt that. Whew. Once and for all, we are healed and we are redeemed today. We tell you again, infirmity, you have to go. Spirit of sickness, you have to go. Spirit of disease, you have to go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody else needs prayer today. Somebody else, you're holding on to something in the past. Pam, come here. Whew. You know, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody or single anybody out, but I'm just going to follow the leading of the Lord here today. The enemy is ripping you apart with things that have happened in the past. Just absolutely things that you are just having a hard time letting go of. I've watched you over the last 6 years, and I've watched as God has moved in your life, and I've seen you lay things down and walk away from those things. I've seen you just go through so many circumstances that just completely defy human explanation. And as you went through these fires, you've laid them down and you've allowed God to burn those things up, and you've just forgotten about them and moved on. There's more that you've got to let go of. There's more that you do not need to talk about anymore, things you don't need to hold on to anymore, things you don't need to say, well, I wonder what this one's up to. I heard this. It doesn't matter what's going on. Let it go. Let it go in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that God, before those words are spoken, that you would put a stopper in her mouth, Lord God. The things of yesterday don't matter anymore. The things of before are over and done with. God, as we've seen here today, we cannot operate in the present and we cannot look forward to with an expectation into the future as long as we are held bound and manipulated by the past. Lord, right now, we brush those things off. Those things are null and void in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Joe, come here. I shared something with you on the other side there, and I feel it so even heavier now. He says, son, be faithful with a few, and I'll make you ruler over many. God, I thank you right now for this man's calling. Lord, I thank you for the way that you speak to him. Lord, I thank you for the prophetic utterance that you speak into him that he's able to share with others. And I speak to the enemy right now that would try to bring discouragement. I come against that enemy right now that causes us to look at things only through natural eyes. And I say, you are a liar. You are a deceiver, and you've been exposed today. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this brother, God, and I thank you. I thank you for how you use him, Lord Jesus. And God, I thank you for honoring his faithfulness, God, when it would be so easy to say no more, when it would be easy to say, I'm done. I thank you, God, for honoring his faithfulness today. You have been faithful with a few, and now I shall make you ruler over many. We give you praise today in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name, my God. My God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you and we praise you today, Lord. We praise you today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Joe, I just feel God's telling me to tell you just to keep on praising him. If you need to sit down there at the front, don't go back to your seat yet, but you just stay here and you just praise God and you thank him. Anybody else need prayer? Anybody else knows what we're talking about? Don't let go of the past, let go of the past and don't let the past ruin your present and your future. Sister Karen, you shared something with me the other day when I saw you out in public. And ever since then, I've been praying for you and I've been praying for that situation. And God says, hold on, because tomorrow is going to be better than yesterday. It's going to be all right. And when it happens, it's even going to shock you. The amount of what God's about to do is just going to blow your expectations out of the water. You've limited God and said, Lord, if that's it, that's great. That's all I need taken care of. But God says, daughter, don't limit me. Somebody else, come on, don't hold back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. God is not going to allow you to be tortured, and he's not going to allow you to torture yourself. He says, you just trust me. He said, it may be a gradual process, but you trust me. And it's all going to go away. God's growing you right now. In the middle of this situation, God's growing you right now. And that's why I feel in my spirit it's going to be a gradual thing, because every day that goes on from here until you cross that finish line, you're going to learn something else. You're going to be able to do something that you have got to the point where you felt that you couldn't do it anymore. Every day is going to be a new step. And when you cross that finish line and you see the victory that you have won, number one, you're going to look back and say, God, forgive me for taking so long. But number two, God is going to send people into your path that only you will be able to minister to. You get ready, because God's going to make you a spiritual mother to a lot of young women and even to a lot of young men. He says, daughter, I'm going to give you a voice that the enemy cannot rail against, that no one can accuse you. He says, I'm going to give you a voice. And multitudes' lives are going to be changed because of your faithfulness and because of your testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, things that you're showing this son of yours, God, the areas that you are exposing him to that he's never been exposed to. And God, even times where he said, I don't even understand what's going on. I don't understand why God is allowing me and why God is using me in this area. God says, son, lean not to your own understanding. He says, I brought you to this place for a time such as this. He says, I'm showing you things because I know you're faithful enough and you're bold enough to speak my word. You're faithful enough not to hold back. And he says, if you continue with that boldness and that faithfulness, he says, I'm going to give you more. He says, with every responsibility that you're faithful with, there's more responsibility that comes along with it. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that Brother Howie's eyes would see even more of what the Spirit's up to. That his ears would hear even more of what the Spirit says. Lord, I want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ for raising up a prophet in these last days. He says there's going to be times where people are going to get offended, but he says, I'm not offended. And he says a true prophet will speak the word of God in the face of offense. But he says it's a better thing to offend a multitude than to offend your God. He says, I've given you the ball, now you run with it. Now you run with it. And you be bold. Lord, I thank you right now for a greater outpouring of your Holy Spirit on my brother today. Lord, I thank you for greater wisdom, greater knowledge, and greater revelation to come forward out of this man. Lord, I thank you for exposing the schemes of the enemy. And Lord, I thank you for giving him eyes and ears to be aware of those situations when they are exposed. Lord, I thank you that several are going to grow in their walk with you because of this man's voice. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would keep him humble, that every word that comes out of his mouth would be, thus saith the Lord, and not anything of his flesh. Lord, as he grows in this, as he continues to grow and flow in this call, Lord, show him and teach him. Let yes be yes and no be no. Show him exactly when it's you, when he needs to speak. Show him times when it's his flesh, and he needs to say absolutely nothing. And I give you thanks today, God. I thank you for pouring your Spirit upon your son, upon my brother today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You two, I want you two just to take each other by the hand because you guys are dealing with something similar right now. I want you two, we're going to pray for both of you. Lord, we're dealing with loved ones that, God, we see in the natural. It appears that their flesh is suffering. For Karen and for Christine today, God, when it would be so easy for these two just to stop and run away. God, when it's so easy for us to question things, when it's so easy for us to say, God, I just simply don't understand. You're doing it for this one. Why are you not doing it for this one? God, I thank you for honoring these two because, God, they've not given up. They've not taken the easy way out. God, they're going up the rough side of the mountain. And, God, I thank you that when we top that mountain, there's blessing there. Lord, I thank you for drying up cancer. Lord, we're going to speak, and we're going to speak directly to cancer today, and we're going to tell it's got to go. It has to go. It is not permitted to stay. It is not permitted to linger. Every cell of cancer has to go. And God, on top of these things, on top of these reports, on top of these threats. God, I lift Christine up to you. And God, even doctors don't know what her affliction is. And Lord, I am reminded of the woman with the issue of blood. She had spent everything on doctors. And your word says she was none the better. But now, God, for both of these women, for both of these families, your word says that when that woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment, she said in herself, if I just but touch the hem, I know that I'll be made whole. Lord, that hem is confirmation of the word of God. Jesus, I want to thank you for that day when you boldly walked through the streets of that city wearing the wearing the garment of the high priest with that tassel, with that hem hanging off that side, and that woman reminded that if you were who you said you were, if you truly were who you said you claimed to be, she knew that all she had to do was touch that hem that was symbolic of the Word of God, and she knew that she would be made whole. So, Lord, right now, we speak wholeness into Christine and into Karen right now, God. As these two are joined together in faith, believing, God, your Word says that where any two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. And if that group will agree is touching any one thing on earth, it will be done in heaven. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now remember what he said. Now this is for everybody. Forget about the things of yesterday. Ponder not the things of old. He says, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. That's what you need to focus on.
Thank you.
want y'all to stand again real quick. I want you to lift your hands up, close your eyes, and just begin to worship the Lord. I want to read a couple things to you here. This is for this ministry. This is for... I'm not going to... I don't feel for one second that God wants me to speak to the building, because the building's not the church, it's the people. As Crystal was talking, I was sitting there, and the Holy Spirit dropped it down on me. And I was thinking about the children of Israel back at the time of the Exodus. When they made it to the edge of the sea, when they were following the presence of God, they got to the edge of that sea, and they saw the sea out in front of them, and they saw the armies of the enemy coming against them. And they began to look around, and they saw death on one side, and they saw destruction on the other side. And they just sat back, and they began to question. They looked at Moses and said, have we come this far to be laid waste? Have we come this far to be slaughtered? It would have been better for us to remain in bondage than to die here in this wilderness. I want to read a couple things to you here real quickly. We know the end of the matter. My God in heaven, that just reminded me of something else. Oh, Lord, help me. I lost my verses. Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 11. Now, I want you, listen, folks, I just want you to thank God. I just want you to begin to praise Him. I want you to worship Him. I want you to thank Him. Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 10, He says, they will not hunger or thirst, neither will the scorching heat or sun strike them down, for He who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them to springs of water. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. Now, let me read one other passage to you real quickly. God's got me parked in the book of Isaiah today for some reason. Isaiah 35, starting in verse number 7. Actually, you know what? Let me back up. Verse number 1, he says, the wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but He will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy, for waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. And the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, in the haunt of jackals its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes, and a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. He says, no lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go upon it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ for this ministry, God, that we would not look at the things that we see in the natural. God, as we today celebrate 6 years, Lord, I look back over that time, and I remember that moment when I knew I was coming home. And I can remember in that car that night saying, God, why me? Why me? Why would you take me back there? And Lord, as different ones have come back, or different ones have stayed, or new ones have come in, Lord, we've been consumed at times with the natural, with the things going on around us. God, we've looked at the situation, and at times we focused more on the empty seats, and we've been worried about who was not here. And God, we've even questioned at times and said, have you brought us this far? Have you brought us this far? It would have been better if we would have just stayed where we were at. But Lord, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for making a way where there absolutely was no way. According to your word, the mountains would be leveled and the valleys would be raised up. The crooked paths would be made straight. We would pass through the river and we would not be overtaken. We would go through the fire and we would not be burned, and neither would the smell of smoke kindle itself upon us. So Lord, I thank you and I praise you for what you're doing right now. I thank you for what you're doing right now in this ministry. God, you have not brought us this far to wither up and die. You have not brought us all this way for us just to throw in the towel and give up. God, you have called us right now to the kingdom for a time such as this. And Lord, we are going to stand faithful and we are going to stand firm. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would speak to each one of us and confidently assure us and comfort us as to why we're here. Lord, there's no big eyes, and amongst us there's no little U's. We're just one family, unified today, God, and we want to see you do great things in this ministry. Lord, I've watched over the last few weeks as the things you've been teaching us about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God, you've been... Lord, we've been growing at a pace that we've never grown before. And Lord, I thank you for what I saw happen in this place last Sunday night. Lord, that one that's here today that testified this week that when they were touched by the Holy Spirit, that it felt like a bolt of lightning shot down through the top of their head and went all the way through their body and through their feet. And Lord, I want to speak right now. I thank you for that one, God. Lord, there were others, but that one has come into my remembrance this week. And God, I thank you for what you're going to do in that life. The things that you have said were impossible, God says, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen a thing yet. Bethel Temple, God says, we've not seen a thing yet. Don't worry about the army of the enemy that's chasing you. And don't worry about that big sea that's in your path, because God says, I will make a way and you are going to pass through on dry ground. And we praise you today, God, for your promise. We praise you today for your promise. Thank you, God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8, the Word of God says the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. The end is better than the beginning. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in this place today. I thank you and I honor you for what you have accomplished today, God. Lord, you've taken me so far out of my comfort zone. You took me out of my expectation for today. And God, you've done something amazing here today. Lord, I truly believe in my heart that every one of us can say that we've experienced the presence of the Lord in this place today. That we've experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God, I'm excited for what you're doing and I'm excited for what you're about to do. Lord, I am so truly humbled by what you've called me to do in this place. And I thank you for this family that has taken myself, my wife, our children in. And made us a part of their family. I thank you so much for this group, God. Lord, there's several that aren't here today. And God, you know the reasons why. But I thank you for allowing my family to become part of this family. Lord, I want to take a step back for just a moment. And I feel this in my spirit today. God, we, a lot of us, a lot of different times have said, we're about to experience this, we're about to go through this. But Lord, I feel a check in my spirit that we've arrived. That we're at that day that we don't have to any longer sit back and look at a calendar and say, I wonder when it's going to happen. Today is the day of our salvation. Today is the day that you have raised this ministry up to a new level. Each and every one of us, God, prepare us for what is taking place. Enable us for what is taking place. Strengthen us for what is taking place. And we give you thanks. We give you honor. We give you glory for all things. Thank you, God, for 6 amazing years. Lord, I thank you for the ones that stuck around. God, for the ones that weathered all the storms. I thank you for those like myself that came back home. And I thank you for the new faces that you have sent in. And God, I am looking forward even more to what you're doing. Thank you, God. We've celebrated in the sanctuary today. Now, Lord, thank you for allowing us to celebrate as we break bread together. Bless the rest of this day. Bless our meal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you can stick around with us, everybody go over to the other side. If you can't, like I said, we're going to just kind of keep an eye on how the time goes today, and we will let everyone know what we're going to do as far as tonight goes.